What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome back to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we're back again for another CUSA football preview episode, one of our last two, bringing up the rear, but definitely maybe save the best for last. I don't know. It's going to be a fun one here. We're going to talk Jacksonville State today, Josh. Thank you again for being on the show. Always appreciate your insight.
I know. Yeah, we had a great opener in week zero. Excited for the first full week of play coming up here in a few days. So, yeah, really excited to it's bittersweet. I'm excited to be done with the previews and get to games being played. But this has been so much fun.
It has been fun. And obviously, you know, coming up really quick for this team who plays on Thursday this week. And to talk all about the Gamecocks today, we have with us Mark Edwards, now sports editor emeritus at the Anniston Star. Mark, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you for having me.
Mark, with the departure of Rich Rod and a lot of players in the portal, you know, we don't want to spend a whole lot of time kind of talking about last year, but from a higher level, you know, obviously I know the expectations are much higher there in Jacksonville, having tasted that conference championship and really putting together two back-to-back years of really impressive football. So as you turn a new page in this program's history, what are your expectations going into the 2025 season?
I think they're going to be very good. They just have the setup to be successful. I also think they hired the right head coach. To be honest, from what I see so far, I think everything boils down to the quarterback. If they get production out of quarterback, I think they'll be good.
Well, you mentioned it, so let's talk about it. One of the reasons we saved Jacksonville State for one of our last previews is there was a quarterback battle. We weren't really sure who we might see going out there. As of right now, while we were recording, we still don't know who's going to run out there come Thursday. So what are your thoughts on what you've been seeing at camp and maybe who's been running with the ones and what's that looking like over there at Jacksonville State?
Well, Coach Kelly has said all along that the Kentucky transfer, Gavin Wimsatt, is in the driver's seat. I would be surprised if he doesn't start. However, I do think we shouldn't overlook a transfer, Cade Cunningham. He was at Marshall and Memphis, didn't play a lot. He looks good to me, although Gavin is much more athletic. There's also a redshirt sophomore named Caden Creel, and he's been getting a lot of work too. But if you're looking for who's going to take the first snap, I won't do like Rich Rod and say you'll have to wait and see. I do think it'll be Wimsatt. But again, don't be surprised if the others play some this year.
Tell us a little bit about Gavin, kind of his play style. Obviously, we saw a really impressive season out of Tyler Huff last year from the signal caller position that resulted in Player of the Year honors. So obviously some big shoes to fill, but what have you seen so far with Gavin in this offense?
Yeah, Tyler was amazing. In fact, I think he won the job by simply signing his scholarship papers. I think the race was over there. Gavin, he's a tall guy, 6'3", but I swear he looks about 6'5". He's 227 pounds, and he really looks it. It's like it's all muscle, and he's a very, very impressive physical guy. One of the staff members in the media relations department said that he happened to meet Gavin on his recruiting visit, and so he didn't know who he was, just saw him with a coach. And this staff member said that he thought he was a tight end because he was that big. He's a good runner, passing wise, maybe not quite as good as Tyler Huff. But again, in fairness, he was at Kentucky, which, Sarah, I know you know because you follow the Southeastern Conference too. Kentucky just doesn't put a lot of talent around their quarterbacks. They're very defensive oriented. I've always wondered what Gavin could do if he were put in an offense where he has some really good top-notch running backs and have some guys who can catch the ball.
Well, I think you just teed it up perfectly again. Top-notch running backs. Obviously, a lot of high expectations out of Cam Cook coming out of TCU. He had some really impressive numbers there in Fort Worth. Again, another one who has some big shoes to fill after Trey Stewart came in and had an incredible season from the running back position. And, you know, we talk a lot with Liberty about them having this system that allows for guys to come in year after year and put up amazing rushing stats. And Jacksonville State's right up there with them. I mean, these two teams both ranked in the top, you know, 3-5 in the nation last year in rushing yards per game. And so, you know, I think the expectation there is to be as successful on the ground with Cam Cook. Have you kind of seen that build up from him so far in camp?
Well, it's impossible to not like him. He's a physical guy, runs well, has some speed. But there is one other name that I do want to mention that might be someone to watch this year, Andrew Paul, who joined the team last year out of Georgia. He's looked good as well. I would be surprised if he doesn't get a lot more carries this year. But Cam Cook is definitely the guy to watch. And I know Trey Stewart for us was a bit of a revelation, even though he ran for like a million yards at a Division II school. But he was essentially a surprise. And Tyler Huff, we knew he was going to be good. I kept hearing lots about him. Trey Stewart, I had no idea. He was as much of a revelation to me as he was to anybody else. But this year, I'm looking for Cam Cook and Andrew Paul to do big things. And again, it's running backs can always, you know, you get somebody who runs hard. As you know, Josh, in practice, there's not a whole lot of contact. So when you put them in a game where defenses are going 100%, and sometimes guys who really have something special like Trey Stewart did, that's where you begin to see, oh, yeah, this is something. So I'm very interested to see how Cam and Andrew Paul do when the lights turn on.
You talked a little bit about, you know, not just the running back room, but also the wide receiver core as well, needing to make sure they step up and really support that quarterback position. We got to talk to Michael Pettway at Football Media Day. Obviously, he's been around the program for a long time. Anyone else at the pass catching position, whether it be wide receivers or if you guys are going to go to some tight ends this year, that you are looking out for to produce big numbers in 2025?
Well, first I'll ask, I'm imagining that you had a good conversation with Michael Pettway. He's a real joy to be around.
Yeah, I actually got to talk to Coach Kelly, Michael Pettway, and Daryl Prater, who also all joys to talk to. So that interview is actually going to come right after yours on the show. So stick around for that. But yes, wonderful conversations.
And Daryl Prater is wonderful, too. I imagine those are great interviews that people are going to enjoy. Michael Pettway is going to have a chance to stand out this year, and so will Brock Recksteiner. You know, he's the connection to wrestling, and he's looked really good in preseason. If you're looking for a name that maybe folks don't know as much about, but I think is going to be interesting to watch, is DeAndre Johnson. He's out of Rutgers. He's 6'8". He's really hard to miss. You know how sometimes you catch yourself staring at someone? You don't mean to, you just do. And the guys are walking off practice, and we're waiting for Coach Kelly, is right at the end. And I caught myself staring at DeAndre Johnson just because he's so tall and so muscular, to the point that he noticed that he just kind of nodded. And I thought, oh, great, I got caught staring. But he is a guy to watch. You know, I'm not saying expect him to catch 40 balls. I'm just saying that with a guy like that, you've got to at least try to figure out if he can do it with the lights on.
At 6'8", I mean, he might end up on the men's basketball roster.
Yeah.
hope none of their coaching staff are out at practice scouting him for the end of the season.
Right. Buddy.
On the offensive side, I know that, you know, we've talked about a few schools that have had key guys that they kept out of the portal on the player side. I think for Charles Kelly, one of the best moves that he made was retaining Rick Trickett on this coaching staff. at the offensive line coach, which, as we know, with guys like Clay Webb the past couple of years, that offensive line position for Jack State is one of the most crucial ones. It is for any program, but as we've talked about with the way Jack State has run their offense, obviously very important. So having someone with the experience like Rick at the helm still has got to feel pretty good for the Gamecocks fans, I imagine.
Well, Josh, you hit it on the head. Rick Trickett, I would have to say, if you name the five best offensive line coaches in the country, he would be one of them. I thought he might, you know, when Rich Rod, when news got out that he was leaving, I really thought that Rick would go back to West Virginia with Rich Rod. Wasn't the case. Jacksonville State is very, very fortunate to have him back. They only have one offensive line starter back, a guy named Bubba Grayson, and he is full of personality. He's wonderful to be around, a good leader, just a sophomore, but a good leader for that group, buys in totally to what Coach Trickett wants to do. Coach Trickett and Coach Kelly have a connection. They're both at Florida State at the same time. They're part of that 2013 national championship team. And, you know, even though they've got four new starters, that doesn't seem to bother Coach Trickett. Coach Kelly keeps telling me that Coach Trickett kept telling him, says, we got to build a new line every year. I mean, what does it matter if it's four guys or one guy? Says, you've always got to build a new line. You might as well just accept it and move on. So he's not the type that's going to sit there and complain about, oh, we're inexperienced. He's just not going to do that. And he works his guys hard, too. One of the earlier practices, it was about a three-hour workout. I mean, I promise you, I was just off on the side, and I was ready to go back in. But I wanted to talk to Bubba Grayson, and Coach Trickett had all the linemen, and they're in full pads. They're over in the corner of the end zone. That's the one thing Coach Trickett was doing for them that day. The corner of the end zone was at least in a little bit of shade. So after 3 hours in the sun, hey, let's go to the shade. But, you know, he was working for 15, 20 minutes. And we're not talking about, hey, we're just going to walk through some stuff just so I can teach you some things. No, it's like full-blown, you know, snap the ball, shoot off. It just, I thought, dang, it's got to be hard to be an offensive lineman here. But Coach Trickett's as good as there is at teaching people, especially who don't have a lot of experience. He doesn't mind that. He can teach you how to be good. And so I think everything else we're talking about, the receivers, the running backs, the quarterback, it's all probably going to look a little bit better because of who they've got as the offensive line coach.
I'm trying to think about how you keep weight on the offensive linemen when they're out there in 100-degree weather, 3-hour practice.
Right.
Make sure those boys getting something to eat. Well, we've talked a lot about the offensive side of the ball. Let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. Kind of an open-ended question here, but anyone that you're looking for a lot of production out of on the defensive side of the ball, or some key transfers into the program maybe that we should keep an eye out on coming up in this season?
Well, on defensively, you mentioned one guy, Daryl Prater. There's also a defensive lineman, Garen Stansberry. Both of them are going to be really good. Garen came from Arizona State. The defensive line has more experience, a good bit more, than the offensive line. And Coach Kelly and Coach Trickett, they've allowed them to fight it out, offense during defense, for most of training camp. The term that Coach Kelly uses, and Josh, Sarah, I know you guys have heard this before, iron sharpens iron, and it really has in that case. At the beginning of preseason camp, defensive line was having its way. More recently, it's been a lot more even. The defensive line actually has gotten a lot better. They have not been able to just sleepwalk through the preseason. So I'm expecting them to be very good up front, and that's what I'm looking at. Now, as far as other positions, I don't know. A lot of this you could just pick out of a hat. They're replacing a lot of guys. You know, in the defensive backfield, there was really only one guy who came back, Jake Jones. And so, you know, it's if you're looking for some terrific, wonderful, you can invest in the stock market advice on how the defensive backs will look, I'm just not sure. But as you both know, sometimes just guys, all they need is an opportunity. And I haven't heard Coach Kelly say, I'm really worried about the defensive backs. He hasn't been saying that, so that's probably a good thing.
For the defense last year, I know that a big key to success for them was the ability to turn the ball over, get off the field. So far in camp, have you seen the same kind of intensity and aggressiveness from that group?
But, you know, Rich Rod was very big on, I want turnovers. I think one of his goals was, for every 100 yards of offense the other team gets, he wants one turnover. Sarah, I don't know if you remember way back to Gene Stallings when he was at Alabama in the 90s. He had the exact same philosophy. Stop the ball, stop the run, and create turnovers. And so it just, in a way, with Rich Rod, that was a bit of a throwback for me. Coach Kelly, I know he's very, very defensive-oriented, and because that's the bulk of his background. And so I would be surprised if they are not the same, try to be as opportunistic. Now, when they do get into 11-on-11 and they're really thick with trying to put in actual plays that they're going to work in the game, that's when Coach Kelly says, I'm sorry, Mark, but I can't let you watch this. I see enough otherwise, and I always tell them, that's fine. I can see that in the game. What I'm looking at is individual personnel. But so as far as turnovers, I imagine it'll be important, but I know for Rich Rod, it was extremely important.
Definitely. Let me tell you, you have more access than some of our writers that we've had on the program.
Yes,
for sure.
Definitely.
Every coach is different. How has it been with working with Coach Kelly? Obviously new to head coach at Jacksonville State, but not new to the program necessarily, not new to coaching in any way, shape, or form. But how has it been just being around him, and what type of things has he been preaching to the program just about the direction that they're headed?
Well, first off, he's been wonderful to work with. As far as somebody with a print background, when I'm doing stuff for the written word, I'm looking to try to get enough information so that I can get about a 500-word story. Now, the sound bites are different, and Rich Rod was good at that. You can ask Coach Kelly one question, and he will answer it, and then he will cover the two or three follow-ups you had in mind. It's like, oh, well, I guess I need to change subjects. I really like him a lot. He has gone through the wars to get to this position. I'm not sure if people understand exactly how he's had to hit on every level. He was a high school assistant coach. He was a graduate assistant at Auburn. He worked at Jacksonville State when it's Division II. He stayed when it went to Division I. He was at Nicholls State. He gradually got to move up to places like Florida State, Tennessee, Alabama. So he is wonderful to work with. In fact, it's been a little surprising because, you know, I know a lot of people didn't get along with Rich Rod. I did. To me, it was very easy. And I worried that when Coach Kelly came in, it wasn't that I thought, well, it'll be easy to work with or he won't. I just thought, well, I don't know him. It's going to have to be a process. Well, that process lasted all of 2 minutes. I mean, he is just so, so easy to work with. The biggest thing that I was not expecting was how much his 4 years under Nick Saban affected him. Sarah, I know you know that Coach Saban has all his little ways of speaking that you can always tell somebody who's worked with him because they start repeating some of the same things. Like a couple of days ago, Coach Kelly told me something about wanting to help players create value for themselves. And I do this now. I know where you got that one from. It just is pretty clear that he gets a lot of his mindset from Coach Saban. there's one particular thing that I do think his background has helped him is special teams. Coach Kelly has been a special teams coordinator at Georgia Tech, Tennessee. There's one other school I'm missing. You know, you can look at his resume and see he's got a lot of special teams work. So he seems to be very dedicated to that. What I've noticed, this isn't true in every case, but what I've noticed is that first-time head coaches, special teams seem to be the first thing that goes south because they've got so much to get used to, so many responsibilities they didn't have before, that they're just trying to make sure the offense and defense are on the field fine. Coach Kelly, the special teams, I think, are going to be very good. I asked him about that once, and he said, you know, you're dang right it's important to me. And he talked about how one out of every six plays in a game is a special teams play. It just, I would be shocked if you see Jacksonville State in the first game or two and you see a special teams play just goes completely wrong and you're saying, well, that looked awful. I think they're going to be pretty solid in that regard, which is a big leg up. And the part about Coach Saban, I think the biggest thing that's had an effect on Coach Kelly at a place like Jacksonville State is Coach Kelly's very detail-oriented. And I know Coach Saban is very, very detail-oriented as well. So, and I think he's gathered some of that and applied it to his own personality.
Well, yeah. Saban coaching tree is not a bad coaching tree to come from.
Not at all. So yeah, love the Sabanisms that come out with Coach Kelly. But yeah, I mean, like you said, the key to excellence is doing the little things better, right? Better than everybody else. Just making sure there aren't those little errors that could make a game go wrong. So, and I know that for, you know, the Jack State fan base, you know, maybe they didn't think that Charles Kelly was the sexiest hire, just based off the name, but yeah, I don't know how you look at that resume and don't get a little excited about the coaches that he's been with, the schools that he's been with. I mean, that experience is definitely, valuable. And I think you see it across the coaching staff, you know, that he's brought in. But let's talk schedule a little bit, because you guys have an interesting one here. We'll kind of start with the non-conference slate, or really we'll look at the first, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. You're at UCF to start the season, you know, kind of one of those potentially winnable P4 games if you go out and kind of shock the world a little bit. Week two, you bring in Liberty for a huge CUSA matchup that could really set the tone for the rest of the season. At Georgia Southern, who's, you know, a great Sun Belt squad, and then home against Murray State. And then at Southern Miss, which for those of you who followed the team last year, that was kind of the coming out party for the Gamecocks before they went on that run, was a huge win over Southern Miss that they were, you know, dominated all facets of that game. You really saw Trey Stewart come on the scene. Tyler Huff had one of his biggest games. So I'm really excited for this early stretch for the Gamecocks.
I think the one game you mentioned that's going to be very interesting is that Liberty game. It is at home, and that's last year, I think, one of the things that really helped Jacksonville State. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but their first four game were non-conference, and you know, you have to understand the way I looked at Jacksonville State last year was when they signed Tyler Huff, I said, conference championships decided. Jacksonville State will win it. But I changed my opinion radically those first three games. I thought, well, they can't do anything else well. But they had a chance to play themselves out of that so that by the time they got into conference play, they were in really good shape. Now, as far as Liberty, I mean, they're a good program. They always are. And that's going to be a tough one. One thing I do like about the schedule is that Central Florida game is going to be on a Thursday. So if they, every team always has stuff to clean up after the first game. So they've essentially got two additional days of work that they can hash some things out. Georgia Southern, I see that as a winnable game. Southern Miss, you know, they were terrible last year. I don't know what they'll have this year. And they have a new staff. Murray State, I know that's going to be tough. And then when they get into conference, it's just my own opinion, and not just because I'm talking to you guys and this is a CUSA broadcast, but I do think the league's going to be better this year. I think Liberty and Jacksonville State last year have kind of set a standard that I think other teams are trying to reach. But the biggest reason I think it's going to be better is I do think the league has good coaches. And good coaches, it just their programs get better as they go. Now, as far as when I look at this schedule, I do think it's going to be tougher than last year. You know, can Jacksonville State get back to the conference championship game? I'd like to think so, just because what I see that I like, I really like. But it's tough to say. If you want to sit there and hold me to the and make that clip, and then at the end of the year, if they're like, you know, 4 wins, 5 wins, say, geez, Mark, you were so wrong as well, you know.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's hard to take a look at it today on whatever Davis is and say for sure, you know, Jacksonville State, lock it in, yeah. Conference champions.
Well, and it's hard
again.
When, yeah, I mean, the amount of newness we have in the league, we've talked about this on so many of these previews. So, you know, so far, like last year, we kind of thought that Liberty was going to be, we knew more or less what they were going to have from the Fiesta Bowl squad from the year before. And a few other squads we kind of knew were going to be better. But yeah, this year, I mean, there's just so much unknown that, yeah, I mean, even Jack State at UTEP could end up being a game that has conference championship implications. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really look at those last three games in November, you know, home against Kennesaw State, a rivalry game, back on a Saturday, you go to FIU, which, again, we don't really know what to expect out of them. That could be a big game late in the season. And then home against Western Kentucky, we saw how important that game was. It was the play-in game for the conference championship game. So now this time back in Jacksonville, you know, for WKU, any guys that were on that team last year having to go back into Amfer Stadium, they might get a little PTSD after losing 52-12. So, you know, I know there's a lot of new guys that didn't experience that, but yeah, that last three game stretch, depending on how Jack State performs in the first 9 weeks of the season, could end up being pretty pivotal.
Yeah. And I anticipate they'll be at home. So it's a good thing they're getting Western Kentucky and Kennesaw at home and Murray at home, and Liberty at home. But at the same time, they won at Liberty last year. So it's hard to say. I don't know. It's so hard to predict what they're going to be like. I know I tend to go a bit overboard. Teams that I've covered for, gosh, 4 decades, they're more likely to undershoot what I say than overshoot. I tend to be a little bit more optimistic off what I see. And I guess part of that is, you know, I like coaches. I like players. I like working around them. And when I see them do good things in practice, I think, oh, well, I'm going to want to watch that guy. Then all of a sudden you get into a game and it's not translating. But I do think that with Jacksonville State, if they get good quarterback play, consistent quarterback play, getting back to the championship game is a definite possibility. But hey, guys, you could get back to me in 6 or 7 weeks and we're sitting all asking ourselves, what happened? Or we could sit there and say, yeah, they're right on schedule. I mean, who knows? And Josh, just quickly to touch on, you mentioned like the last three games. I mean, that's a perfect thing to bring up. It really is, because I have a feeling that when we get to those last 3 weeks of the season, you know, the three of us may be sitting here saying, we got no idea who the two teams are going to get the championship game.
We will be saying that. That's how Conference USA works.
I would love it if we didn't have to do that. Last year, coming down to that last game between you guys and Western Kentucky was and then having to book flights 6 days out was not ideal.
I bet.
But yes, we will absolutely be saying that. That's for sure. There's no doubt about that.
I know.
Well, Mark, you mentioned it a little bit in your last answer, but we always like to ask the beat writers who we have on the show about their background, how they get started in the industry. If any aspiring journalists are out there listening to us, you mentioned there are some teams that you've been covering for 4 decades. And I mentioned at the top of the show that you're now sports editor emeritus. So you just retired, but still around the program, obviously. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got started, and when you started covering Jacksonville State.
Graduated from Alabama, went to the Birmingham News part time. Back then, it wasn't unusual to be like the number four guy on the Auburn game or the number four guy on the Alabama game, doing things like that. My sports editor really liked me, helped me get a job at the Decatur Daily, where I was the Alabama beat writer for about 13 years. Then I became sports editor and essentially did both Alabama and Auburn. And around 2013, the Anniston Star called. They had an opening for a sports editor, and they seemed to they locked on to me for whatever reason. I don't know what it was about me, but I was so fortunate that they seemed to want me. And so, honestly, when I came to Anniston, my goal was, well, I'll do Alabama, Auburn, and I'll also do some high schools. Jacksonville State really wasn't part of my thinking, but I've enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed it when they were in the Ohio Valley Conference. I enjoyed it when they were in Conference USA. ASUN, not as much, but I've become much more involved in Jacksonville State coverage than I anticipated that I would. When I told my publisher that I wanted to retire, and he said, well, we really would like you to continue to do stuff. Sarah, you might find this surprising, but I said, I'm not really that interested in going down to Alabama and Auburn on Saturdays anymore. You know, it's, you got to get there more than 3 hours before kickoff. You've got a terrible drive. When you're done writing, you've got a terrible drive on the way back. And it's not a small factor that in both those press boxes, about 95% of everybody else is at least half my age. So I said, look, I prefer to do Jacksonville State. It's 30 minutes from my house. It's easy to park. There's nobody around when I leave, you know. I never get mugged, even though they told me.
That's a positive.
Yeah, it's a low bar.
Mark, if you really are worried, we will bring up a university PD and have them walk you to your car if you want. I said, no, let's. I don't see any reason for that. it's not just football. I really enjoyed. I've done basketball before. And baseball is wonderful. Softball, that's just been the absolute best. Those folks are the absolute best. I think Jacksonville State just kind of has a thing about it that people who don't expect to stay end up staying. I always figure the best example of that is Ray Harper, the men's basketball coach. We get along great because he loves talking about baseball, and so do I. But Ray, when he came to Jacksonville State, I kind of thought of it as career rehabilitation, that he was going to stay for 4 years, and then get another job. Well, I mean, he's been there 9 years. I mean, even if you leave today, that's a pretty good chunk of time. The only career rehab guy I've ever seen in my 12 and a half years at the Anniston Star was Rich Rod. And even with Rich Rod, I mean, I kind of knew, you know, when he took the job, I thought West Virginia coaching's trouble. He's waiting for that guy to get fired. But, you know, Coach Kelly, I would not be surprised if he stays a long time. And, you know, again, I did not anticipate covering Jacksonville State this much, but I'm really enjoying it. The people there are wonderful. I know you guys know Donnie Smith, the sports information director. Donnie's great to work with, and he had big shoes to fill. Greg Seitz was a Saban-like SID, and Josh Underwood the same way. I mean, it's like you're trying to follow, you know, Willie Mays and Hank Aaron, and you're now batting fourth. And Donnie has done it. He's really good, and that's another reason why I enjoy going out there.
Yeah. Shout out to Donnie.
Yeah.
Shout out Donnie. We love Donnie.
Yes.
Good.
He's also my bowling contact. So yes. Yeah. I love that.
All right. Perfect. Well, Mark,
We really appreciate the time today. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. We'll see how Jacksonville State fares this season. If they end up heading for another Conference USA title, we'll be sure to have you back on the show later this season. But good luck. At least you're not having to drive all around Alabama this year. It's just you're just staying in your backyard. So good luck the rest of the season. And maybe we'll be talking to you a little later.
Great. If you guys need anything, you're always free to call.
Of course. Thank you. We got you on speed dial. Yeah. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thank you very much.
All right, Gamecock fans, stick around for my interview with head coach Charles Kelly, defensive lineman Daryl Prater, and wide receiver Michael Pettway from CUSA Football Media Day. All right, Conference USA fans, welcome back to another segment here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We're joined here at 2025 Conference USA Football Media Day with the Jacksonville State Gamecocks. Guys, head coach Charles Kelly joins us, Michael Pettway over here, and then Daryl Prater. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We're excited to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. Well, first things first, let's talk a little bit of football before we get to our fun questions. The Jacksonville State Gamecocks, obviously the reigning CUSA champions from this last year. Team makeup, a lot different going into this year. Different head coach, a lot of different players there on your roster. What is the thing that you're talking about in the locker room or in the coaching staff's room going into this 2025 season?
I think for the coaching staff, what we've emphasized is control what you can control. The thing that I've been most impressed about all of the young men is how hard they've worked, and control what you can control. You can control how hard you work. We focus on the grind. That's our motto, is embrace the grind. And when you focus on that, the results will come when you do the little things right. So, these guys, especially these two, have bought into the values of what we, you know, what we want to be as an organization and as a program. And they've done a good job of leadership and, you know, helping the other new guys, young guys that have come in our program.
What about you guys from a student athlete perspective?
I feel like Coach kind of just hit those points. Like, yeah, we just embrace the grind. Another one, really, he says, like, what win, which is what's important now, you know, control what we can control. And that's right there in the moment. You know, when we're working, we can only control how hard we work, and we work really hard. So, yeah.
Right. A lot of players, they already know what we want. We all want the same goal. We want to win. So we're always buying into what Coach Kelly is telling us to do, and because it's going to be for the better of the team.
So you guys are starting camp soon, right? Mm-hmm. When do you guys start?
We report on Sunday. First practice is Tuesday.
All right. So things are starting to really ramp up heading into this upcoming season. Is there anything you're particularly looking forward to about camp? Don't get me wrong. I know it's a grind, but you got to be excited about it.
I'm looking forward to the kind of talent show. I think that's always the best part.
You guys do a talent show.
I don't know if we are this year, but
man. I love it when you like several teams do it. So you're looking forward to the talent show. Yeah. Y'all have some talented guys on the roster this year.
I think so. Yeah. For sure.
They think they're talented.
They think they're talented. What type of talents are people bringing out? Are they singing, stand-up comics? What are we getting into?
We do have a lot of singers on the team, surprisingly. Okay.
That doesn't surprise me. Where you located in the South?
Right. We got some comics too.
Sure. I usually save this question for later in the interview, but since we're talking about it, who's the funniest guy in the locker room?
I don't mean to brag, but it's probably me.
Probably, yeah.
Humble brag. I love it. I love it. See, you know what? I don't get this vibe from you though, right now.
You don't?
No, you're the funniest.
Oh yeah, I'd say so.
You think?
I give it to you. Yeah. Okay. I give it to them. It's some pretty funny guys on the team. We have a wide receiver's name is Wyatt. He's pretty funny. I can't lie. He got some good jokes on him.
What about you, Coach? Who do you think's the funniest?
DP is a little deceiving, but he is funny. we have a couple other D linemen that get out there pretty good. Curtis Perry can.
Yes,
yeah, he can get out there pretty good too. But
what about the coaching staff?
Ooh,
I say probably
the one work. That Coach Trickett will probably. I don't know if a comic is the right word, but he'll make you catch your breath.
I love it. Okay, on the flip side of that though, who's the most serious or like needs to lighten up a little? too intense. Now, intensity is not a bad thing, but like you can't get a smile out of the guy.
Who? On the team?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have one on the coaching staff, clearly.
Okay. Not that one. That's kind of hard because I feel like, I mean, the type of person I am, I try to make everybody just like, if you in a bad mood, like I just try to, you know, like, bro, lighten up, bro. Like, be happy. Like, we just blessed to be able to do this. So, I really wouldn't say it's really anybody that comes in with like a bad attitude or like that's just always just serious all the time.
It's really kind of hard to be super serious all the time in the locker room because we have such a great bond. You can always laugh and smile with us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I love to hear that. You're the only group I've had so far that could not give me an answer to that question. So that is a testament for how well you guys get along and how much fun you guys are having in the locker room. So, all right. We talked about last season, but we're looking forward to 2025. You guys get started week one. I know you're always just looking at the next game. Mm-hmm. The coach speak teaches us well just to look at the next game. But is there anything on your schedule, any other game that you might just have like a second circle around that you're looking forward to? Any fun home games or anything that you can think of?
I'm always excited for homecoming, and I'm excited to play the new teams that join the conference this year, especially Delaware.
Yeah. They have a perennial history of being a great program. So
I'd probably say Delaware for sure because my first got there, they knocked us out of the playoffs. So I'm excited to play them again. Right. Gotta get a little bit of revenge.
There you go. Coach, I'm gonna guess you're gonna say week one.
Week one. and really, you know, the one thing that we've tried to instill in our players is. Again, focus on the task in front of you. And I think sometimes, listen, it's great to be excited about the season, but the most important thing right now is our first day of practice.
Yep.
And trying to develop the habits that, you know, to be able to execute, to be able to play when those times, you know, when those exciting games are there. Mm-hmm.
So we talked a little bit about newcomers to Conference USA this year. Obviously, with the state of college athletics as a whole right now, we've seen a lot of change here in Conference USA. Your first year here in CUSA, what can you say? I'm kind of on the outside looking in, having not played a Conference USA schedule yet, about the league makeup and what these teams are kind of. We don't really have like a linear thing that all these teams have. We're all very different. So what can you say about the league?
Well, the first thing is I think Conference USA has done an incredible job of exposure across the United States with a lot of the games that we play during the week. Because like when I was at Auburn or Alabama, you know, we would come in and on Wednesday night or Thursday night, there's a game on, you're going to watch a game. And so I was able to watch them play. I was able to watch a lot of the other teams. And it's great exposure, not only for the players, but for the universities, because that is the window for your entire university.
Right.
So I think the conference has done a great job from that aspect. What the thing that impresses me more, first of all, they're really, really good players in this league. But there are some great football coaches. I mean, I've known a lot of these coaches throughout the years, and not only head coaches, but assistant coaches, coordinators, there's some really good coaches. So it's a challenge week in and week out, you know, to what you're competing against. But I think Conference USA has done an incredible job, you know, for all the teams that are a part of it.
Well, we thank you for that compliment. Our commissioner, Judy McLeod, thanks you. But this is a great time to plug Weekday CUSA every Tuesday and Wednesday in October on ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPNU. So be sure you're tuning in because these guys will be playing on national television. Guys, from a player perspective, anything that you want to add?
Not really. I feel like Coach kind of just said
it. Yeah, it did cover it. It is an honor to be in the Conference USA.
Yeah.
This is a great experience. This today, yesterday is a great experience to be here.
We're happy to have you for sure. Absolutely. Well, I guess one more kind of football related question really for you, Coach, but you guys are welcome to answer as well. There's a lot of continuity from last year's coaching staff to this year's coaching staff, although there has been some change. The guys who stayed on with the program, how does that help with the guys in the locker room with what you guys are implementing on the field as well?
Well, listen, anytime it does give you an advantage, especially from a relationship standpoint, when people that, you know, remain in your organization that were here, there's a definite advantage on a person that has navigated the schedule to a championship. So being able to, you know, have people like Rick Trickett, who, first of all, I think is one of the finest coaches, you know, in the country. But everybody wanted to talk about recruiting when I first got there. And the biggest recruit that I felt like that we got was keeping Coach Trickett on staff. And but, you know, the people that have been there, they've had experiences. And, you know, that's what you learn. You learn from experiences. You learn, you try to get all the information you can, and then you can make your own decisions. So I think that's been a big help.
Anything to add, guys?
I think just, I guess, from me, Stan, since we kind of already had like a culture of, you know, wanting to win, especially, you know, when Coach came in, like he wanted to keep that culture. So like I took pride in, you know, him saying that and trying to help like the younger guys or the new people that come in. Like there's a certain way that we do things around here. Like it's a standard that we meet every single day. And if we're not meeting that standard, then we have to correct that. And I just kind of take pride in that. And I think that for me being a senior and trying to be a leader, I just try to really just help the newcomers and the young guys, like, you know, just lead them and show them like, this is how we do things. This is how, you know, we get better and, you know, to try to keep winning.
Awesome. Anything to add, Daryl?
No, ma'am.
They're just killing it on this.
Yes, ma'am, they are.
All right, two more fun ones for you, and then we're all done. So I mentioned this before we started, but I just love hearing about what our student athletes are studying in the classroom and not on the ball field. So tell me a little bit about what you're majoring in and maybe what your aspirations are post-football whenever you're done.
Right now, I'm a marketing major. When I graduate, after I get my MBA, I plan to be a real estate agent.
Awesome. Commercial, residential?
Residential.
Okay, awesome. What about you, Michael?
I'm getting my master's right now in public administration. I didn't have time to take the GMAT test to get my MBA, but I want to open up a pressure washing business one day and hopefully incorporate like flooring with that and a little bit of interior detail. But that might be doing a little too much. But
I love the entrepreneurial spirit. Listen, I know a guy who has a pressure washing business. He's in Montgomery, which is a little far, but you let me know when you're ready.
Sure, sure.
We could talk. Okay, final question for the group. I want all of you to answer if you can, but I love asking our student athletes and coaches who we have on the show what your favorite place to eat in town is. So we call this segment CUSA Eats. If a fan is coming from out of town to Jacksonville, Alabama, where do they need to go to eat?
I like Athena's.
Okay, it's been there. It is good.
It's an Italian cuisine. It's pretty good.
Okay, Athena's.
Yeah, I'd probably say the same. Athena's. Athena's is really good.
It's a pretty solid spot.
Yeah.
How about you, Coach?
No, I love Athena's. I do. It's a great place, and we have a few good places to eat. But if you're coming to Jacksonville for a game, you got to go to Cooter Browns.
We've done that as well. Cooter Browns. I'll tell you though, the sleeper at Cooter Browns is the wings.
Yeah.
Wings are so stinking good. We devoured a lot of them when we were there
for the CUSA championship last year.
Cooter Browns is an institution there in Jacksonville for sure. All right. Look, see, this was so easy. Your first stop. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. But Coach Kelly, Daryl, Michael, we really appreciate you joining us here on CUSA Insider. Enjoy the rest of your experience today and good luck this season. Go Gamecocks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to everyone there in Jacksonville, Alabama, for joining the program today. Lots of exciting stuff there happening for the reigning Conference USA champions. We'll have to see how the rest of the season plays out for the Gamecocks, though. Yep. A lot of games to happen between now and December, starting this weekend. I guess not starting this weekend. We had a really great matchup this past weekend, but week one, everybody's in play this weekend. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, super excited. And yeah, we just got one more preview left with the Kennesaw State Owls. We'll get to talk a little bit with Kai Millett with their paper there. And yeah, wrap up our preview series.
Yes.
It's crazy.
So be fun. Make sure you're in tune for that one because it's going to come out on Wednesday, not our usual Thursday release. So make sure that Jacksonville State can have their own day on Thursday since they get play underway that evening. Yeah. If you want to tune into that game, August 28th, Thursday, 6 p.m. They're playing UCF. That game's on ESPN+, so make sure you're tuned into that one to see who runs out of quarterback, who's going to be on the field for the Gamecocks. Lots of newness around all of our programs, but super excited to see everyone this weekend and just see what we're going to get out of this season, perhaps.
I'm excited. I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Some good stuff. All right. Make sure you're following us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And then if you're watching the show right now, we thank you so much. You've obviously found us on YouTube. Just go search Conference USA on YouTube, find our page, and we've got a podcast playlist right there on the homepage for you. But if you're an audio-only listener, you can still find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. All right, everyone, that is it for us today. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph. That is Josh Jonas, and we are signing off.